2 Samuel chapter 13. Verse 23 is where we left off. Amnon performed a horrific, horrible act. Nothing to minimize that for sure. Just a terrible thing that he did there. The lust of the flesh, the despising of God. And the following through, Lord, and the Lord provided opportunities for him to escape that. Yet he continued to pursue his lust of his flesh, and the lust of the flesh just has a tendency of welling up inside us if we don't do anything about it. It doesn't just sit there dormant. It's an active thing, and it's something that is cultivated, and finally it produces fruit. And it's not the fruit that we want, right? It's not the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's outlined in Scripture as well as the fruit of the Spirit, and we certainly don't want that. And all of us, if I gave allowance here to raise our hands, we certainly would say, yes, we want to be filled with the Spirit and we want to produce fruit for the kingdom. And so what we're going to talk about today is that this instance here of, it wasn't the end of the culmination period where the sin of the fathers, the sin of David. David was a sinner. A great king, great warrior, but a sinner. still a less, right? And he committed some sins that we look at and we go, wow, how could David have done that? But God doesn't classify his sins, does he? Sin is sin. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a white lie, as my dad would call it. My dad would say that we were only able to really tell white lies. Others could claim it, but we could only tell the white lies because we were the whites. But even them, little small white lies, that wasn't their sin, right? And Dad had a cousin, and I might have told you this before, Dad had a cousin that he lied from youth. And when he became my age, I remember him being my age and Dad saying, Freddie, don't ever believe a thing he says. Because his life was just a big lie. And it was always telling, exaggerations. I caught this big of a fish, he would catch this big of a fish kind of thing, right? It was just that way, and you never knew what was truth. So the one thing Dad said for sure, if you never believe him, you'll be safe, right? And so it's a sad thing, right? We think of telling one lie as not, well, that's not a big deal. Yeah, well, it can be, right? And it starts to brew and it starts to fester and it starts to be something bigger than what we really wanted. I think of the VeggieTale where the rumor weed, remember the rumor weed gets, and where it just, one small little lie or one small little untruth, and all of a sudden that weed was out of control. And that's kind of the way it is in our lives with sin, is that if we don't take care of it, if we don't come to the altar of God and just confess our sins and agree with them, we're taking it into our own hands. When we come and we agree with the Lord about our sin, it's in His hands now. That's so much better. It's like we're forgiven and we can be fruitful as we want to be. There's not one Christian that doesn't want to be fruitful with good fruit out of the Spirit. So, it's for our own good. It's for our own livelihood in a sense, right? And what are we here for other than the witness of God? That is it. That is our ultimate purpose, to be a witness to God. When we're filled with sin, lust of the flesh, we're not going to be a witness to the Lord, you know. So it behooves us to really take action, not in a despising way of the Lord's commands, but in an acceptant way of His truths, and then pleading for His forgiveness, and He is certainly willing to forgive us. So we have David's son, the first of the order, the one that would take over the throne, raping the sister there, committing an awful sin, just conjured up in lust of the flesh. And then in verse 22, we have, after the discovery of, you know, our sins will find us out, and usually people know them way ahead of time, you know, than what we think. And Absalom, I believe, did know Amnon's sin there. And Amnon, it says there that Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. He couldn't speak to him. Have you ever been there where you can't speak to somebody? You're like, man, I just can't talk to that person. Now there's a time in place where that's probably a good thing, right? That's probably a good thing because you're going to say something dumb. You're going to say something hurtful. You're going to say, there's a time when you have to settle down. I know with myself, there's a time for settling down. There was a time with Hannah, as you guys all know, right? We've talked about it enough, is that Hannah was a pistol. And I remember one time, you know, it was time to administrate some spankings on her, and she was sitting up on my bed, and Karen came to me after about a half hour of her being on my bed, and Karen said, "Did you forget about Hannah?" And I said, "No, I haven't forgot about her, but I need not to go up there right now." Because I was so hot, right? I was so angry at her that I knew that the punishment that I was going to give her was just was going to be sin too, you know? So I wanted to administrate the discipline in a godly way. And so sometimes it's good for us to take a time out, an adult time out, with our neighbor, with our friend, with our spouse, with our kids. You know, it's time. Sometimes it's good to take that time, but let me say this, it's not good to take it forever. Because as we take something like that forever, it starts to be normal. And it starts to be okay. And it starts to be acceptable. And there's things there that need to be resolved, right? There's things there that need to be resolved. And by allowing things, some people say, well, you know, I'm not going to do anything because that's just going to, you know, cause waves and stuff and people aren't going to like that and so forth. So I'm just not going to confront it. Confrontation is good. Ask Nathan and David. If it wasn't for Nathan, Nathan confronting David, what would happen to his sin, his forgiveness? What would happen to his relationship? Would it, you know, we look at these chapters to follow. There's some bad stuff here because of David's sin. But there could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot worse. Could have been carried into a lot of the kings in Israel were evil, you know. It could have been, you know, cast into that category. It's good to take care of it before it festers. It says there that he spoke neither good nor bad to him, for Absalom hated him. Right? He hated him. Strong word, isn't it? But he hated his brother, and there was this hatred that was just festering up inside him. And then we see what happens there later. But I was thinking about Joseph. We just, on Wednesday night, just kind of finished up Joseph just, a few weeks ago. And talking about him anyways. And Joseph's always a good topic to go back to. But if you remember, it says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons." And of course there was favoritism there, and that favoritism kind of led into or or at least promoted the sin of his sons. Now, it didn't, you know, Israel's love for Joseph wasn't the reason why his sons went away. He should have been loving Joseph. The problem was that it was some favoritism in there, or the lack of love, or even disregard for the other sons. And it was a festering thing that takes place there, that favoritism that happens. And perhaps when we look at David here, we can see a little bit of this favoritism, even in Amnon here, because he doesn't want to, you know, he's the first son, so he's going to take over the throne. So David doesn't want to disrupt that with discipline, which is always the wrong thing. Then, of course, Absalom here hates his brother because of what his brother had done. In an almost an envious way, obviously Absalom knew that Amnon was going to be king at some point. And Psalm 37:1 says, "Do not fret because of evil doers." You know, and I'm sure Absalom was fretting about that. It says, "Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." The evil that leads to the actions of evildoers. Don't be envious of them. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, it says that the patriarchs became envious of Joseph into Egypt, and that caused them, that envy caused them. Remember, he had a prophecy for them that he was going to be the one in charge, and they didn't quite like that. And it says there that they took him and they sold him to the Midianites. They put him in a pit and then they sold him to the Midianites, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt for slaves, to be a slave. And so, and of course, I always liked the end of that, but God was with him. You know, it's always a good thing to remember that our God is always with us, no matter what the poor circumstances we might think be involved in. But here, Absalom, during these years to come, it says in verse 23, it says it came to pass after 2 full years. I think the scripture wants to make sure that we understand it's not a partial thing here. This is 2 full years of hatred, of envy, of just this whole festering business that was going on in Absalom's heart. And 2 full years of disobedience on David's part, that he never stepped up to the plate and took care of the situation, and he just allowed it to fester. You know, David, when you look back in David's life there with Bathsheba and Uriah and the sin that was committed in both cases, this is a continuation of his disobedience. You know, he had lost one son because of his sin. He didn't want to lose any more. And he didn't want to lose any more, yet he didn't consider doing the right thing in discipline. You know, I look at Absalom and I wondered if he waited for his father to react to the situation. Let's see what he's going to do here. And David never stepped up to the plate to do it. Could you imagine your son raping your daughter and not doing anything about it? That seems a little obscene. It seems like you're glazed over or something. You can't see clearly. And sometimes when we get false motives, sometimes when we get selfish motives, you know, I want to make sure that my family survives. I want to make sure that my sons love me, you know, and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, you're not doing the right things that the Lord's asked you to do. He's given you in charge of your family, and you've neglected some of them responsibilities. And you've turned a blind eye to it. For 2 full years, what was Absalom thinking? It's hard to say, but all I know is it didn't help the festering. It didn't help the festering of this sin that was taking place in Absalom's heart. It says in 23 that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim. Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Kindly note, your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his servant go with your servant." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not all go now, lest we be a burden to you." Then he urged him, but he would not go, and he blessed him. And Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why would he go with you?" But Absalom urged him, so he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. So this sheep shearing event was a festive thing. It was something that was common, right? When the shearing of the sheep happened, there was, you know, so it was a natural thing for Absalom here to invite the brothers of his family there. But there seems in 26 that he has to plead for, he didn't care about the other brothers coming. He just was caring about Amnon because he had special plans for Amnon. And he pleaded with David, and David even strongly held on to him. Perhaps David in his own mind knew kind of what was going on here, but he didn't want to admit to it. He didn't want to see it. He didn't want to believe it, maybe. And so here he is. Absalom just burning. His heart was burning with hatred towards Amnon. David was asked, and obviously Absalom was quite persuasive as he went to the king and he urged him and continued to urge him. We're not privy to all that conversation, but the end result was that David let him go. And he kind of condoned what was going to happen ahead of time. It seemed like, when you look at Absalom here, it seems like a kind gesture. Who wants to be invited to my party? Right? Who wants to be invited to my festivities? There's going to be plenty of food, and it's for my family. What a wonderful gesture. But it wasn't, was it? As we know, because we've read ahead, we understand that this was just a ploy. This was just a ploy of Absalom. And you know what? He learned it from the best. David. Right? Because if we remember back at David's life in the Bathsheba incident where he committed adultery and then he was going to try to urge, right? He was trying to urge Uriah into a relationship with his wife. Yet it failed. And so, you know, he would even, you know, we'll see some of the actions of Absalom, how they really seem to be learned from his father David there. But one of the things that he does is that, you know, the tactic of Amnon there was to bring Tamra in, right? And what he used? He used food to bring her in. Absalom, and now we see Amnon being killed by the same sword, so to speak, where Absalom would tempt him into the party there to take part in that, and David would allow that to happen. And in verse 27 or 28, it says that Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Watch now. When Amnon, his heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Amnon, then kill him. Do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and valiant." He kind of puts a good twist there on it. Be courageous and valiant. Know that I'm going to support you. Know that I'm going to be the one watching your back. So the servant of Absalom, the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each one got on his mule and fled. So here he says, strike him. Strike him as he is drunk, right? As he is merry with wine. Just as David had prepared Uriah to, you know, and Uriah, of course, was a righteous man. And I think because of that, God saved his, you know, saved him from stepping into that and relieving David of all the burden of sin, right? So God was able to control him, even though he was under that influence. But here we have a man that's not, you know, had not appealed to God, had not repented from his sin. It had left his life wide open, Amnon. And now, you know, his older brother, or his younger brother, takes and gives him wine to drink so that he is merry, so that he is outside his realm of control. There's a good lesson here for those. You know, a lot of people try to do things on their own. They say we don't need God and so forth. And then the enemy comes in and entices them. And they can't control their lust of the flesh because they're not filled with the Spirit of God. That's an advantage that we have. We're filled with the Spirit of God. Yeah, we can be tempted. But He's stronger that's within us, right? I mean, then who's against us, right? It's like, we have the power to sustain from those things. We don't have to fall for the temptation of the enemy. The Spirit of God that dwells within us will help us not to do that. We have a leg up, you could say. But here he says, strike him down once he is drunk, right? Once he's married. Strike him down when he is out of it. Kind of fulfills what 2 Samuel 12:10 says. When David, remember, when Nathan had confronted him, and then in verse 10 it says, "Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me." And so we see now that the sword is doing what the Lord told the prophet Nathan would happen, right? That the sword wouldn't depart from his house. That these are David's judgments. That these are David's consequences. It's a stiff lesson to us, because why does God warn us about certain things in His Word? So that He could dampen our party? No, He loves us. Right? He wants to see us walk upright before Him. He wants good relationship with us. He desires intimacy with us. And with sin, sin doesn't allow us to have intimacy with God. It separates us from Him. When we're in sin, it puts a distance between us and God. And as long as we allow that sin to be in our life, It won't decrease in size. It will increase. It will escalate. Until somebody else is affected. Right? I mean, the sin of David affected Amnon. The sin of David affected Absalom. We're fooled if we think that our sin cannot affect other people, cannot affect, you know, our relationship with God. And it came to pass while they were on their way that news came to David saying, Absalom has killed all the king's son and not one of them is left. And now look at the reaction of the king. It says, and the king arose and tore his garment and laid on the ground. Does that sound familiar? That's where David was losing his son after Bathsheba, and he was laying on the ground there, and all the servants stood by with their clothes torn. Interesting here is that David never said, "Well, that's impossible." He knew they were at the party of Absalom. He never said, that's impossible for Absalom to do. He never had disbelief that his son Absalom could kill all his sons. But instead, when the news came, he accepted it. And he said, it is possible. It is possible for him to do that. David knew. He kind of knew that Absalom had it in him. He wasn't surprised by it at all. And then the divisive one shows up and says, then Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, or Shemaiah, I guess it is. Maybe it's Shemaiah, I don't know. David's brother answered and said, let not my lord suppose they have killed all the young men, the king's son, for only Anan is dead. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from that day, and he forced his sister Tamar. And therefore, let not my lord, the king, take the thing to heart to think that all the king's sons are dead. For only Amnon is dead. So here he is, right? The divisive one. He comes to David and he says, David, it's not as bad as you think. It's not as bad as you think. It's not all your sons, it's just Amnon. And isn't that the way the enemy comes to us when we're in sin? He said, look at it, it's not that bad, Fred, you know. I mean, you didn't hurt everybody, you just hurt this one or two people, and they're not that good to you anyways. I mean, they did this and that to you, and you know, they kind of deserved it, you know. I mean, come on, look at Amnon here. He raped your daughter. I mean, he kind of deserves to die, doesn't he? And the enemy comes to us and try to sympathize with us in our sinful nature and our lusts of our flesh. Because the bottom line, the enemy doesn't want us to repent. Because repentance, right, leads us right back to the Lord. Because it's a running away from our sin and back to the Lord. So the enemy never wants us to. And Jonadab is just that. He's an enemy of the Lord. He's one that was divisive and trying to dull the blow or the impact there of sin. It says that then Absalom fled, and the young man who was keeping watch lifted his eyes and looked, and there many people were coming from the road on the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said to the king, "Look, the king's sons are coming. As your servant said, so it is." So it was, as soon as he finished speaking, that the king's sons indeed came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king and all the servants wept very bitterly. So let my Lord not take heart. In verse 33 there, it says that, you know, one of the recommendations, you could say, that was from Jonadab was, you know, let my Lord the king not take heart, right? Let him not take heart in this. Meaning, you know, let's, you know, it's okay. It's okay. We need to take heart sometimes. We need to take heart, right? When we have sinned. The enemy always wants to take and diminish the effects of sin. I think of how David should have dealt with Amnon, right? If you turn over to, and you don't have to, but I'm just going to read a couple verses from Exodus, because it gives us a understanding of what David should have done. Exodus chapter 22. Verse 16 and 17, it says, "If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price for her to his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgin." So in this, Amnon should have paid something there to Tamar because of what he had cost her in her life. Chapter 22 of Deuteronomy, verses 28 and 29, it says, "If a man finds a young woman who is a virgin, who is not betrothed, and he seizes her and lies with her, and they are found out, then the man who lies with her gives to the young woman's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has humbled her. He shall not be permitted to divorce her all his days." And of course, that relates to not this incest kind of action that Amnon committed, but the principle there is that there was a cost. That there was a cost. Amnon should have been presented with this, and there should have been a cost to him. You know, imprisonment, payout to the family, so forth. Whatever the sadness of all this, David never confronted him. He never really did take heart, did he, in this? And, you know, when we see the effects of our sin on somebody else, we better take heart in it, right? We better go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. It's a necessity so that we deal with it. And the festering doesn't take place then. Because it's a, you know, he's faithful and he loves us and he wants to forgive us, right? And he wants to renew our relationship with him. And if we continue to go down these paths, you know, and not deal with sin, all of a sudden there's this festering process that takes place and it never gets resolved. Never gets resolved. continues to fester until Absalom comes on the scene and kills him. Right? It was in David's hands. It was up to David. And it says there that Absalom, verse 37, fled and went to Talmai, the son of Tamilhu, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And King David longed to go to Absalom, for he had been comforted concerning Amnon because he was dead. So here's Absalom. He flees. David mourns probably for both sons, but for Absalom. And it says that he was there under the, you know, this was the city in which his mother's father was king of. So he felt safe and he felt secure there with grandpa, right? But for 3 years, David's there. He doesn't handle this properly. He doesn't nip this sin where he should. And it lingers and it festers. And the next few chapters we see Absalom's rebellion. We see the repercussion of sin not dealt with again, you know. But remember, Amnon, 2 years. Absalom now, 3 years. David has an issue with dealing with the sins of his sons. And he allows them the rope in which, you know, to do whatever they are pleased to do. The bottom line is that David could have looked at the incident for Amnon and said, you know, and then the incident with Absalom. And he could have said, you know, I made a bad mistake in judgment. I should have taken care of Amnon when I had the chance. I should have disciplined him when I had the chance. And so, looking back on that, when he found out Absalom had killed Amnon, he had a choice to make. I can deal with this in the same way. You know, I can just ignore it, and maybe it'll come to pass and everything will be rosy again, which it never does when we don't deal with sin. Or I can deal with it the way the Lord has asked me to deal with it, right? And so he had opportunities, you know, and we can't dwell on our past, but we certainly can enhance our future by dealing with our sins. Isn't it painful sometimes to deal with our sins? It is. Emotionally, it's painful. It's hard to go up to somebody and say, you know, I've sinned against you. I've done wrong against you. I lied when I shouldn't have lied. I cheated you when I shouldn't have cheated you. Not that there's a good time to cheat anybody. But just, I've done wrong against you, you know? And it's hard sometimes to even, to the Lord. And we know we've experienced His grace, we've experienced His mercy, but sometimes it is difficult, right, for us to go before the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. But let's get on with it. Let's do that. Let's get into a better relationship with the Lord. You know, how much is a relationship with God to us? Is it that important to us? Or we just want to, what do they say, you know, Sweep it under the rug, right? Sweep it under the rug. You want to do that? Because in our lives, sin will fester. And what will come about is not what we would wish. So, just a little encouragement there.